You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Final check, poopy butthole.
1, 2, 1, 2, poopy butthole.
Poopy butthole.
Please don't tell, no, no, no. Don't say that I told you so. I just heard a rumor from a friend. I don't say that it's true. Just leave that up to you. If you don't believe, I'll understand. You recall a girl that's been in nearly every song. This is what I heard. Of course, the story could be wrong. She's the one I've been told. Well, she's wearing a band of gold. Peggy Sue got married not long ago.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Cage Match. We're here with a special guest this month. It's my wife. My wife.
My wife.
My wife. Or, and Murder likes to claim also her wife.
My side piece.
Hi Brooke.
What's up?
So,
what up, girl?
Clown Marie Baby has joined us.
Clown Baby has arrived.
Yes. So we're actually doing a double feature this month. We're going to talk about a new movie and a movie from 1986, so clearly not that new. But they both star one Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yes, they do.
Ooh, and there's a little hint at one of the movies. So before we jump into movies at all, Brooke, why don't you introduce yourself besides saying that you're my wife? What do you do?
Who are you?
Yeah, I am putting you on the spot.
Well, married to you.
That's what I already said besides that. Yeah. What else?
What type of work do you do?
Let's see. I sew. I make a lot of things.
A needle pulling thread.
Yes. I am dog mom to 3 insane dogs who like to lay on top of me all the time.
Yeah, who cares about those kids, right?
Well, I do spend more time with the dogs these days.
Well, but the kids are at school, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Do you do anything fun?
Yeah, I like to skate.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So a member of the Rockstar Roller Derby team.
I like to watch movies with my husband, and sometimes they're really, really fucking weird movies.
Which is what we just did. Actually, the three of us watched a movie together, which is not something we normally do when preparing for the podcast, but we decided we were going to watch this month's special feature, one Peggy Sue Got Married, together, because we actually watched the other movie together as well, which was the brand new movie Renfield. We're actually going to start with the 1986 film, though, because it's super fresh on our minds.
Oh, yeah, it was very fresh on our minds.
Oh, Lord. So, as you can hear from the wonderful vocal impression here, that's what Nick Cage sounds like in this entire film. And one note before we even jump in is we've talked a lot about Nick Cage's voice in virtually every movie that we've talked
every
about.
Every single episode we've done, I think. We talk about his accent.
It's definitely, if not every, it's all but one, something. Yeah. But one thing he was in this film, before we even jump into the film itself, is consistent.
He was very consistent.
He used the same horrible voice. Yeah, same horrible voice in the whole movie. So he didn't go do the in and out thing like he did in virtually every other movie.
Except when he sings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he sings with his actual singing voice.
Yeah, like, he definitely sounded like regular old Nick Cage while he was singing.
Was there, like, maybe, like, some sort of, like, actual singer from the 60s that was like that? Maybe that talked in a weird voice but sang beautifully?
I don't know. I feel like they were trying to make him sound young.
Yeah. I wonder, because when he puts on his glasses in this film, he looks very much like he wants to be Buddy Holly. And I can't help but wonder if maybe...
Buddy Holly did that.
Yeah.
He, like, talked like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And Pee-wee Herman.
He was this little guy.
So, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. And I'm not going to let you use IMDb like we normally do. Tell me the plot of this movie. So, Brooke, as our guest, tell me what Peggy Sue Got Married's about.
Like, generalization? Or do you want me to, like, tell... Yeah, just give
us a very basic plot summary. Very basic. Like, what IMDb would have, except... Not for my
So opinion. Peggy Sue goes to her 25th high school reunion.
Yep, that's correct.
She faints or passes out and then wakes up in high school again. I guess, like, it must have been her senior year. I think she was about to turn 18. And so then the whole thing is her, like, trying to figure out
why Nick Cage talks like that.
I think she's trying to figure out, like, how to write the wrongs.
Right, because when we meet her in the beginning, right, she's...
divorced.
She's divorced or divorcing. They're not super clear, but she's not with her husband anymore.
Yeah, and it wasn't a good... Yeah, it was clearly, like, a bad and upsetting thing.
And she's got a daughter who's the same age as her.
Yep.
For some reason.
Yeah, Helen Hunt is her daughter in this film, and she, Peggy Sue, is played by Kathleen Turner, and they cannot be more than, like, 5 years apart in actual age.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that much.
And they look
her voice might be older, because Kathleen Turner has the voice of a 72-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Since man, 72-year-old like man. Let's be
she
fair.
She has that nice deep
who
voice.
Who smoked their entire life.
But yeah. I love her.
Oh, I agree. No, I agree wholeheartedly.
Her voice is way deeper than Nick Cage's.
Yeah, I know. That was the weirdest thing. When they were talking, she was like... What do you want me to do, Charlie?
And then he was like,
I just want to love you, Peggy Sue. I just want to marry you.
Oh, Lord.
She's like, you can't, Charlie. You can't.
Your Kathleen Turner voice is pretty fantastic.
It's really so good.
I'm going on the road with this.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. So that's the basic idea. And then, she doesn't really want to go back to... the regular time, because she's enjoying it until, like, she starts to realize, like, she misses her family and yada yada. And
she has to settle.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately, the climax of this film is basically her realizing, well, I can't change shit. I might as well just go back.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. I guess I'll have sex with this man.
Oh, yeah. She does have sex with a guy who's equally as shitty as
just
Nick
like
Cage.
A different type of shitty.
Yeah. He's the kind of shitty that only watches A24 movies. Yeah, oh, man.
Or The Lobster.
The Lobster. Oh, well, that's an A24 movie.
There
believe
you go.
It or not. Yeah, yeah. Brooke, what you don't realize is most of the movies we talk about being horribly pretentious after we watch are from A24.
Gotcha.
But they did do Green Room, which is the shit.
Mm, yeah.
But Nick Cage isn't in that.
No.
So we aren't going to talk any more about that film. So this movie also features a young Jim Carrey.
Which was, like, crazy, because he was, like, so much better than Nick Cage in this movie. I thought he was more entertaining.
Yeah, he definitely was.
I mean, he's always entertaining.
Yeah, he was just being himself, honestly.
And then he even did, like, the weird physical gags that we know him for.
The arm behind the head.
Yeah, like, it was
his
like,
role was too small.
Yeah, it was very small.
It was too small.
The mom from
Seventh Heaven,
whose name, I don't know her actual name.
I'll never know.
Yeah, the mom from Seventh Heaven. Helen Hunt, like we said, plays Kathleen Turner and Nick Cage's daughter.
Bob from That 70s Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
So Bob from That 70s Show looks exactly like Bob from That 70s Show.
He does.
With different haircuts. And a couple different parts of the movie have different haircuts.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he just showed up. To be younger, we just trimmed his hair.
There we go.
And something else that's really interesting about this film is when they go back in time, all the same actors look exactly the same, playing 25-year younger versions of themselves.
I feel like that one lady looked older.
Oh, she did.
In, like, the past.
Right.
It was her outfit.
Yeah, she looked like a 90-year-old going to play shuffleboard the entire time, but she was supposed to be, like, 16 years old.
This is true. And, I mean, I played shuffleboard at 16 a couple times. Yeah. I didn't look 90, though. So I guess that's, yeah. Usually it was with older folk at the old folks' home that I played shuffleboard.
Yeah.
But, interesting. I don't want to go too much further without acknowledging another important thing, which is we chose this movie as a special homage to one of our fans whose birthday is this month.
Yeah, Ducky's mom.
Yeah, Ducky's mom, who I know as Ducky's mom.
Yeah.
I don't know your actual name, Ducky's mom. I should probably have asked that, but happy birthday, Ducky's
happy
mom.
Happy birthday.
I had it written down.
Shit. I like wrote it down.
Margaret? Maybe.
If it's Margaret, happy birthday, Margaret. And if it's not, happy birthday, Ducky's mom.
It's just Mama Duck.
Yeah,
Mama
Duck. We love you.
Mama Duck, we love
but
you.
But we do really appreciate that you're like one of our diehard fans who actually listens to every episode, even though we say we're going to do one every month and it's like every month and a half-ish or something. But we do appreciate that. And so happy birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thanks for recommending this movie, because even though I'm not sure if I liked it or not, I am sure I will not forget it.
Yeah, that is
it
true.
Was very entertaining.
It was really
very entertaining.
Film, yeah. It definitely laughed a lot.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I've been the type of person for a long time to say I'd rather a movie be like bad and impressionable than like I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't commit the cardinal sin of a movie for me, which is being forgettable.
Yeah.
It's definitely not that.
Yeah. I think it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it was good.
I wanted to see what happened at the end.
I just think that if you paired anybody else with Kathleen Turner, it would have been a hit.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I just wanted to know, like, how the hell she was going to get back. I was trying to figure out, like, how she was going to do it.
So what were some of your favorite moments of the movie? Brooke, we'll start with you as the guest here. What were some of the things that you liked most that we haven't already hit on here?
Oh, go to murder. I got to think about this.
Okay. Murder. How about you?
I liked a lot of the one-liners in the movie.
There are a lot of good one-liners.
Like the one, go take a long walk on a short pier.
Stuff your bra.
Go stuff your bra. What? Like, what was... What?
When they told the one girl to, like, drink her nail polish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And then they had a back and forth of, why don't you come help me?
Like, why don't you show me how?
Like, yeah, like, was that the insult of
I
the,
think it
of
was
the
supposed,
era?
I don't know. I wasn't alive in 1960.
I think she meant,
something.
Like, you drink it first kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
A lot of goofy, like, one-liners.
I also liked that when Kathleen Turner, Peggy Sue, proposed to Nick Cage that they have sex.
Oh, yeah.
He first said... You mean like sexual intercourse? Like, who the hell says sexual intercourse?
And then no, you said, have to say it like he says
you
it.
You mean like sexual intercourse?
Yeah, there you go.
And then he goes,
yes.
Yeah, repeat
she
that.
She says, let Charlie come out to play or something like
little
that.
Little Charlie,
little
Chucky,
that's
little
what
Chucky,
it was.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you mean my wang?
Wang? So anybody who's listening who was around in the late 60s, was wang a word?
Yeah, was wang a word?
And if it was a word, was it actually a commonly used word when describing one's penis? Because I'm curious.
I don't know. They didn't say penis at all in that scene. It was little Chucky.
Little Chucky, wang, and sexual intercourse.
It was sex and then intercourse. It was two separate times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yes.
Oh, wait. Another good Kathleen Turner line was... when they asked why Charlie and her broke up, and she said house payments.
And that was to her parents.
Yeah, that was to her parents.
Did you and Charlie have a fight? Kinda. What was it about?
House payments.
That was actually really
And then she
great.
Just like left the house.
Yeah, there's a lot of time. And I like when she comes in and they're like, she's just getting her bearings at her parents' house, and she just starts guzzling whiskey.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And like, then her dad comes in and she's drunk, and he's all mad at her. She's like, I'm an adult. And he's like, what? No, you're not. But she did look exactly the same as she did 25
really
years
did.
Later. So
I thought she was just so good in it. She delivered everything really well.
I did enjoy her. I mean, and generally, I'm very defensive. Like, Nick was good in this movie. Like, I wouldn't say he was bad, but I wouldn't say he was good. I would say he was what the fuck.
I think
yeah,
he was.
It was fun.
He
was
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like when he was like sneaking into her bedroom with his little creepy
oh,
fingers.
Lord.
Wait, so there's two scenes in this
That's
movie.
That's creepy as hell.
Where it's suddenly a horror film.
Yeah,
this is one.
There's more than one, I think.
Well, I said there's two. So the ones that come to mind were that, and the final montage when she's waking up. All of a sudden, there's these weird overlays,
of
and
faces.
You see all these faces looking over her.
Yeah. See, I missed
like,
that part.
Yeah, you got up to go to the bathroom, I think, and
I was taking care of Weston's.
I was
boo-boo.
Like, she doesn't want me to pause it. She doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. No.
So I didn't.
And it felt like a horror movie at the beginning when she like woke up in her high school.
Right.
That felt fucking scary. Like it felt like. Let's take you home.
Oh,
and then
the
they
mom
get,
from
like,
Seventh Heaven
away.
Gave
yeah,
her that
yeah.
weird little wave
yeah,
when she woke
she's
up.
Like,
Yeah, which she gave like a baby arm, like T-Rex wave
thing. It reminded me of Scary Movie. This is my strong hand. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it was so weird.
You're not wrong. Wow.
It's bananas.
So
I did enjoy the final, well, this not the final scene, but the scene where like her, I love that her grandparents totally believed her.
Yeah.
So she told her grandparents that she came back in
totally
time
believed
and they were
her.
Like, cool.
They're like, I believe you.
And then her grandpa like brings her to, what was it? A moose lodge?
It was like a moose lodge, elk lodge kind of thing.
They literally do like a spell to send her back.
And then they think it worked because she gets kidnapped by Nick Cage.
Because of course she does.
When the lights go out at one point and they think it worked. And the guy's response is, oh, she's gone. Let's play cards now. That's literally what he said. It was so good. And like, there was no one in that scene under the age of like 85.
Oh yeah, they were all.
Hungry. Yeah,
oh, the hats were just the best.
The grandpa that looked like Colonel Sanders.
Oh yeah, and like the weird doorknobs on all the hats. Yeah. And
I mean,
stuff.
Honestly, it was a really, really fun time. It's probably a movie that would have been really good if I was really stoned too.
Oh yeah.
Or drunk or whatever, any kind of substance will do.
Just
I think.
Like on the same level as Nick Cage in that movie because he was 100% coked out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be on his level. To be completely honest.
Oh my god, that last scene with him, he looked like he was dead.
Well, in the beginning, we all thought his teeth were capped because of the way he was talking.
I thought he had
the
fake teeth like pushed into his mouth.
I think he might have, actually, because even at the end when he gives a smile, they don't look like his
teeth. I mean, I thought like the longer I looked at him, the less like that. No, the less like capped they looked from the very beginning. But I don't know, maybe it was something they were trying to make him look older or whatever. I don't know, because he looked like a dead person in the last scene.
Also, I think you guys agreed in the beginning when they first showed him, and he has this weird like blondish hair. It looked like they went out and bought like spray hair, color spray, and just sprayed it on, and that was how they did his hair, because it didn't look like they actually even really dyed it.
No, it did look like it was sprayed on.
It was so bad.
Very weird. Yeah.
And especially the older him, it looked even worse.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the younger him was weird because it looked like he had those fake vampire teeth, is what I was saying, that didn't have the vampire part on it. It was just like shoved in his mouth.
No fangs.
Yeah. It just looked like he had fake teeth in his mouth, like just shoved in there. It was so fucking weird. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
So we didn't do kind of every little segment, but we're doing a double feature, so I kind of don't want to break down super specifics in that regard, but I do want to at least get everybody's kind of take on the 1 to 5, where you rate it. So where did you rate this movie if you had to right now? Like, I'm honestly not sure, but from 1 to 5, where would you rate the film? I'll start with you, Murder, because I have a feeling it's going to be quite low, or no?
I don't know. So I'm always on the fence about like rating, because I'm like, am I rating Nick Cage or am I rating the movie?
Well, you can give me two separate ratings if you want in this regard.
So the movie, because I love Kathleen Turner so much, she's a gem, and Helen Hunt, I'm obsessed with her.
Sure.
I would say a 4.
Okay.
Because it was so entertaining.
It was
entertaining, really good.
Yeah.
But Nick Cage, like being in it, I would give it maybe a 2. Because I feel like if they picked any other actor to play that part, it would have been like just a genuinely good, goofy, funny movie. Whereas like he just made it so much more cheesy and so dumb. But like it was like genuinely funny. Like all the parts that didn't have him super heavy in it, I think were genuinely funny.
Right, right.
Like they were just silly, goofy. They were poking fun at the campiness of the movie. So I feel like if he wasn't in it, it wouldn't have seemed so like terrible. You know what I mean?
He was part of the, like, the reason I found it so entertaining. I'm not saying like he was good. He was like he was like ridiculous, over the top, and I thought it was super funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like a type of movie that I would normally watch.
Yeah, same here.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. I'd probably say like a 3, I think.
So I'm leaning at that like 3 range as well. Yeah. I think like if you're giving it a 2/4 because of him, you're
we'll
basically
3.
A 3. So we're kind of all on the same page. It's the 3, but to me it's definitely a would watch again, but it's a would watch again just because it is entertaining and hard to forget. But I don't know that I'm like dying to watch it again soon.
Yeah.
But like you said, Brooke, it's not the kind of movie I generally go to. I basically watch like horror, sci-fi, and then movies I watch for my podcast that aren't horror and sci-fi. Yeah. So the only time I watch a movie that's not horror and sci-fi is generally because I'm recording a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Whether it's here or Curtain Jerkers, it's like, you know, but
I mean, we watch comedies and stuff, but I feel like this was more like a...
It was more of a romantic comedy, yeah. And it had to, I mean, definitely has a lot of those 80s staple romantic comedy things in it.
It had a lot of sentimental music parts in it, so.
But I, like, couldn't tell if it was trying to be serious.
I felt, I don't know.
It's hard to
say. I mean, it was definitely campy.
It's hard to say. And like, good camp is hard to tell if it's on purpose, honestly. Yeah. And that, so maybe in a way it is really good camp, because... Yeah. Like, a lot of things that are, like, good camp were not actually trying to be bad or funny. They just are.
They just are, yeah.
And but, like, so, the fact that, like, they all still looked the same exact age. They did not try. There was no trying.
But then, wait, before we leave this movie, I have to point out one thing about that. She goes back in time, and she looks like she's still the same she was when she was supposedly in her early 40s. But she has... a little sister who's actually a little sister. Like, even, oh, look.
Margaret McBoyle?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the poor little sister who no one taught her how to trim her upper lip yet or how to wax it or anything. But she was, I think she was trying to be playing, she's not quite a teenager yet because she says, oh, you teenagers. Yeah. So she's got to be like the 12-ish range.
Yeah.
She's probably being played by someone who is 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
But comparatively to Kathleen Turner, who looked 42.
Yeah. It looked like a mother playing with her daughter.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
I miss my sister.
My little sister.
I love her so much. Wait, what? Meanwhile, Helen Hunt's supposed to be your daughter and she could be your sister.
Yeah.
But hey, you know.
He really didn't try with the ages.
No, they definitely did not.
Like, the most they did to Jim Carrey when he was older was put some, like, gray in his hair and put glasses on him and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know.
See, that's why
say.
I think it's camp. That's why, because, like, that does feel like
an intentional decision.
Yeah, little things like that, I'm just like, they had the money. They could.
The nerdy dude looked totally different. Like, he actually looked, so maybe he was under, like, heavy makeup when he was
Or was it a different guy? The mustache and the fact that
when he was young,
his hair had a reddish tint, and when he was old, it was all gray. And I think that might have just made it look so much older.
Yeah.
Because he had that, like, brown with a red tint kind of hair.
Yeah, because at first I was like,
who is that supposed to be? In the future, or the present, or the whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, I think we're all in agreement. It's not necessarily a great movie, but it's an extremely fun movie.
Yeah, I was entertained the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
what a ride.
Right. So thank you for recommending that. Thank you for that. And we're going to take a magical trip all the way to modern day in a movie that literally is in the theaters as we speak.
Sorry to interrupt.
Are you okay? I need to get out of a toxic relationship.
Why don't you start by telling us what brought you here?
My boss, he's different.
You can't get him out of your head.
No.
I need your assistance.
I'm coming, master!
Oh, you feel like he could destroy you with the snap of his fingers.
Wouldn't even need to snap.
Okay.
Uh-huh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, what?
Renfield.
I want to first start our discussion on Renfield and thanking anyone who's listening who actually came out to the screening that we got to give away passes for. That was really fun.
It was really nice to see so many people show up.
Yeah, I mean, we had gave away so many passes that they actually asked us to give more away because at the end they were like, oh, we still have some passes, and you gave all 30 sets of them away.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, so we gave more away, so... I'm glad that you guys all came out. It was a pretty nice packed theater, and it was a really fun theater. Like, everybody was laughing and screaming
like
along.
Yeah, super into it. Yeah,
Which is always the best when you're at a theatrical experience. And like, so yeah, let's talk about Renfield. So
the darkest movie theater of all time.
Right.
So, so we're gonna spend a little bit of time on the experience of it, but we'll get there. Let's talk about the movie first. I'll ask my guest again. Why don't you tell me what Renfield's about?
Okay, so Renfield...
who is Renfield?
So Renfield is basically Dracula's familiar.
Familiar. And if you're not familiar with what a familiar is, that's like their assistant.
But it's...
their human assistant.
Right. So, and I don't... like, I'm not totally up on all vampire lore. I didn't realize that familiars could have special powers, but... he is able to have powers when he eats bugs.
Right.
And that's like a pretty central part to the
movie. He hints at the fact that that was a power given to him by Dracula.
Right.
Yeah.
So they met like, I don't know when the year was. He was a real estate agent, right?
Yeah.
And he was trying to like make a deal with him and somehow...
'30s.
Yeah.
They literally took the, because Universal made this movie.
Yeah.
And Universal owns the old movies.
Gotcha.
So they literally took the original Bela Lugosi 1931 or whatever year it was, and they superimposed Nick Cage's face on Bela Lugosi and Nicholas Holt. Mm-hmm. So that those scenes are actually the original scenes with their faces superimposed.
Really?
Yes. So, they literally made it a direct sequel. Like, this movie is supposed to be a direct sequel to the 1931 Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Interesting. So, I did not know that.
It's a really cool way they start, and it really ties in the story well in the beginning. I really enjoyed that. So basically at this point, after we see this opening scene that you just described, we now see Renfield... kill a bunch of people and eat a bug and stuff, which you missed.
Right.
And
I was so confused.
He's kind of like explaining his backstory, like why.
While he's explaining it, he's also killing people and defending stuff because he's had to eat a bug to do this.
Yeah.
And we find out that he uses these powers to get innocent people. Well, he doesn't like to do it to innocent people. He likes to do it to jerks, but he's supposed to be getting innocent people for Dracula to drain their blood.
Right.
And then we see him go into a relationship synonymous thing about
abusive relationships. Yeah.
And that's kind of where the story really picks up.
He's literally trying to get away. Right. He wants to get away and out of Dracula's, you know, he doesn't want to be a slave anymore. He wants to have his own life.
And one of my first thoughts after the movie was over was, I think Murder might have liked this because this was a Nicholas Holt movie with Nick Cage in it, not Nicholas Cage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I fucking love Nicholas Holt.
And also, Awkwafina.
She was so good.
Awkwafina was so fucking so good. In it.
Awkwafina
she was so
and Holt
amazing.
Are definitely like.
They had
more
such good
than
chemistry,
main
too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought they were so good together.
They both have that very like dry humor delivery.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's such a great straight man where he's just like,
he plays like that like golden retriever kind of personality really well. Where he's just like, okay, like, let's do it. Who cares? And she's just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
She's so in your face. Like, her sarcasm is so offensive, like, in the best way possible. It's so fucking funny. She's so good. Yeah.
I love her.
I
like in the beginning, they're in a police precinct, and this guy comes in, and he's saying, fuck you, to all the cops. And she's like, how can you let him go? He can't say fuck you to the cops. And the one guy goes, you say fuck you to me all the time. And she goes, shut the fuck up. it's super hilarious. Like, I really, really, really enjoy that particular portion of it. She is definitely one of the highlights of the film.
Oh, she's so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, everything she says is, like, the scene that I walked in on when they saw the graffiti on the wall and it was, like, a bunch of rambling. And they were like, what is this? And she was like, it looks like the lyrics to a ska song.
So in the beginning, they were at that help group, the Relationship Anonymous or whatever it was.
Right.
And the one girl's talking about her abusive boyfriend and how he loves ska so much. Right? Isn't that kind of like where it starts?
That's the first time we talk about ska.
Right. So then that's kind of like...
the running theme.
Yeah, the running theme, because that ends up being the guy's like garage or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
Yeah. So is that a threat? No, I think those are just ska lyrics. And it is lyrics to Message to You, Rudy. As somebody who... And, like, I've never went to, like, a Hollywood movie and had references of Mustard Plug, the Pie Tasters, and the Slackers in the same movie. I was very, like, this is weird.
Yeah.
As someone who, like, occasionally listens to you now and used to listen to a lot of ska, it's kind of funny to hear that. And I recently was reading them talking about the director talking about it, and the writer was in ska bands and stuff. Uh-huh. So it's a big joke. Like, he wrote these jokes in, like, as a rip to him and his friends.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And actually, I don't know if you know the director, McKay, is the guy who did the Lego movie.
Oh, really?
Or Lego Batman. Sorry, not Lego movie, right. Lego Batman.
And Lego Batman is freaking hysterical.
Right.
That's so good.
So, that's so funny. So, yeah, so that's... pretty fantastic tie-in, and now it kind of makes sense with the humor. You know, you adult it up a little bit, and it's very similar in a lot of ways. Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah,
that whole movie was so good. I loved like being woefully confused because I was late with the movie, and him just looking at spiders and sniffing things with like ants, and then him fighting people, and I was like, I don't understand the correlation. And then he finally explained it a little bit later to Awkwafina, and I was like, oh my god, thank god.
Well, first I thought it was like a special bug he had to eat, but then it's just
any, I did bug. Too like I bug. Thought that his little pill case was filled with special bugs, and yeah. I realized they were just any bugs,
yeah,
because we're in the one scene he just sees a fly, he reaches up and grabs it, and then all of a sudden he starts kicking ass, and But one thing that I don't think the trailers did well was telling me how ridiculously over the top bloody this is.
Oh, yeah.
Be.
Super.
Yeah, it was like Quentin Tarantino level bloody.
Yeah, so this type of movie is often referred to as a splatstick. So it's a splatter comedy. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't know it was a splatstick going in at all. Like, I just thought, like, oh, there'll be some fun kill scenes and whatever, but no, it was like one of the bloodiest movies I've seen in a long time.
He literally ripped a dude's arms off and started beating him with it.
Which honestly might be my favorite scene in the movie. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like when he punches the guy so hard that he like explodes out of both ends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's, that is pretty great.
That's pretty, pretty amazing.
There's a lot of body explosion in this movie. Way more than I expected. Because I expected none.
Yeah.
There was some great stuff. So, let's get to the elephant in the room of our podcast, Nick Cage. I love him in this role, and I love him in this role because it's an over-the-top, ridiculous villain, and he does that really well.
Yeah.
I like him in roles that a lot of people probably are like, But in this role, like, I almost feel like he was born to play it. Like, if you make a comedic version of the Bela Lugosi where you take away erase some of the seductive side and replace it with more over-the-top goofy side, that's what he is. And I think it really worked. So, murder.
I think he could have done better.
who do you think would have been a better option?
No, I thought, I was actually really excited for this movie. I was really excited that he was going to be in it because, like you, I think that his over the films that he's supposed to be over the top in are the ones he succeeds in. The ones he fucks up with are the simple, like Peggy Sue Got Married. He could have played that straight and been totally fine.
I want just a quick devil's advocate on that. Yeah. I'm thinking if you really feel like it could have been camp, maybe that's all intentional on a sudden.
It could be.
I'm probably giving him too much credit. But anyway, go ahead.
But like, if he gets a simpler role, like he fucks it up so bad. But I feel like when he gets like, you know, we have to review this movie, Kick-Ass. Like, Kick-Ass, he was supposed to be this, like, over-the-top, goofy dad who's kind of vulgar, but, like, very, like, quietly about it. And he did it so good. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I was, like, really excited. I thought he was going to do great. He didn't hold the accent well.
Okay, that's true.
I don't think he had as much of a screen presence as he could have. I feel like he could have gone a little bit bigger.
Which is really crazy to say about Nick Cage.
I know. And then I really thought if he just stuck with the accent, I feel like it would have like really wrapped me into it. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like he could have sold that role. Like he could have been Dracula.
So
but you're
trying
I don't
to
think
say he can't hold an accent for a whole movie? That's so
it's
surprising.
Always the theme. Oh, Lord. I just thought he could have been a little bit bigger and better.
Okay. I mean.
And more believable as Dracula.
I mean, I'm not sure what believable as Dracula really means.
Bela Lugosi. He was Dracula. He kept that character even when he wasn't in a movie or a show about being Dracula.
Which is probably called mental illness.
Yeah. Well, fucking Nick Cage is mentally ill.
Well, that's fair.
To be fair, though, the movie isn't
about,
him.
No, it isn't.
I know.
About him.
Well, that
I think that's kind of like the saving grace of it.
Yeah,
you know
I think that like if he was in it more, I would have been like completely bothered.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was only in it for a little, but I wanted him to be like in it. Like that, I wanted that accent to hold so badly. But then he kept dropping it and then picking up a different one. I don't know.
I did not pay attention enough to the whole accent thing.
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't know I was going to be on the podcast, so I wasn't paying attention.
Well, and also, it's become a running theme of our podcast.
I definitely can see it in other movies that you know,
yeah. Con Air. We love Con Air, but he doesn't.
Con Air is a great fucking movie. Oh, yeah. But right. Yeah, he drops that accent all the time.
But yeah, I mean, and especially after watching Peggy Sue. I mean, like, it was completely ridiculous.
That was the first movie that he held it.
Except when he was singing.
I know.
Freaking weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
But
yeah, but I thought he was, like, I thought he, there was parts of it where I thought he was really good. I just wish it was a little bit more, like, consistent and bigger.
And whether or not that's his performance or the script of it, yeah, too, is a good question. But, yeah, I mean, the movie is called Renfield. It is about Renfield.
Oh, yeah. And he totally
And Nicholas Holt was amazing in this movie.
Oh, so good.
I also found out, and maybe this will give you a couple points on the side of Nick Cage, is that Nicholas Holt largely had this role almost written for him because of Nick Cage.
Aww.
They worked together when Nicholas Holt was like 8 years old in the movie, and Nick Cage has been a big fan of him in his career since. And I guess when he was approached about this movie, he was the one who recommended the casting directors talk to Nicholas Holt.
He's so good. Do you ever see The Great? The show The Great on Hulu. No. Nicholas Holt's in it. He plays Peter the Great. They call it a mostly true story about like Catherine the Great and Peter the Great of Russia. Okay. It's so fucking funny. Nicholas Holt is so good in it. But I think he's just such an excellent actor that, like, I think Nick Cage did what he was supposed to do and kind of gave that movie to Nicholas Holt and Awkwafina.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I feel like maybe that's why he wasn't so big in it. You know what I mean?
That's how I felt about it. Yeah. I mean, it was more like I felt like...
He's like, in a weird way, they almost have a buddy cop feel at times. Yeah. Like, the two of them, like, both, like, you know, work in this case kind of in separate ways. I love Nicholas Holt's whole, like, when he tries to become, like, a normal human being.
Yeah.
And he paints his apartment.
And he's got his, like, pastel sweaters.
Yeah.
And
motivational posters everywhere.
Oh, my God. The
everywhere.
The collage of motivational posters.
It's ridiculous and amazing. It's
so funny. Yeah. You know what? Who else was really good? The guy who ran the meetings. I meant to look him up.
Oh, yeah. He was hysterical.
He was so fucking funny. He was so good.
I love when Nick Cage finally comes in.
Yeah.
And there, he's like, so I think we're dealing with more than narcissism here.
I know. Everything he said felt so natural. Like, he was so good with it.
Yeah.
They, like, legit thought, like, you know, it was a regular boss.
Yeah, just like, you know, some dickhead,
guy. And while I don't want to, because this movie's newer, so I don't want to spoil too much. I don't want to spoil some of what happens with that group later in the movie. When Nick Cage first walks into that meeting, which we all know because it's in the trailer.
Oh, it's so funny.
They don't show in the trailer that I think is amazing is that he's allowed in because they have a welcome mat.
Yeah.
The mat says, everyone welcome.
Everyone's welcome.
And so he walks in.
And Nicholas Holt literally is like, shit.
He's like, everyone welcome, please come in or something like that. And he just like walked right in.
That's at his apartment too. He has
a welcome out.
And that's how he... Gets into it, because
remember, he comes home and there he is, just hanging in his apartment.
Yeah, and he's like, how'd you get in here? And he like points over to the welcome mat.
That's so good. And like, that's a really good joke that probably isn't used enough in vampire humor. Like,
the
welcome mats. Oh, man. I'm not sure. I might have to get rid of my welcome mat just to be safe. Yeah. Ours just says the Harlins.
It just says the Harlins.
It says the Harlins. You're right.
You should get one that says, get the fuck out, vampire.
Oh, Lord. Perfect. I, you know, actually, on a very weird aside, I recently saw what I think is my favorite current welcome mat, which is Don't Stop, Be Leavin'.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So. Although, I do miss our faux shizzle, Welcome to Our Hizzle.
Yeah.
That was a great one. That.
And I have a Wu-Tang welcome mat, but what they said, the size that they said it was online is not at all the size, so it showed up and it's like a placemat.
Dude, that's what Peach got me. This it was supposed to be this amazing welcome mat. It had like a skeleton mermaid on it, and she was so excited about it, but she didn't see the dimensions. So when she got it, it literally was like a piece of foam, and it was like the size of a piece of paper.
Yeah,
like, it
was so tiny. So ours is a little bit bigger than that. It wasn't big enough to put it like the front door.
Yeah.
So it's actually between my boys' two bedrooms because they have adjoining bedrooms. So at the door there's the.
We found a use for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but
perfect.
It says, "Watch your step, kid."
Just don't have that in front of the front door. No more welcome us.
Exactly. I don't think "Watch your step, kid" would probably work because I don't think that says he's allowed in.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's keep this rolling here. Let's say 1 to 5. 1 to 5. What are we thinking? Is this movie?
Where I would say I would say five. I loved it, and I definitely will watch it again. I mean, I laughed a lot.
Yeah,
I was probably
driving, I gave it a
driving
four.
Raven crazy yeah. by laughing the whole time.
No, everybody was. Everybody the whole it was, movie
it
was,
a, was it was such great. A ruckus crowd. I love yeah. that. I yeah. love when a crowd's really into it. Yeah. And I was lucky enough with the podcast we got to give away, you know, the screenings there, and then the night before that, the website Farsighted that hopefully you guys have checked out if you listen to our podcast. We gave away passes to Evil Dead Rise, and both crowds were awesome.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun to watch this with like big, loud, fun crowds. Cause Evil Dead Rise is decidedly not the same kind of like, it's,
yeah.
it's still funny, but it's not like a comedy where this is a comedy. But it had a lot of those like, kind of moments yeah. like crazy stuff going on, and the crowd was so into it. So like it was really cool being like back to back nights of like just everybody screaming and yelling. Because normally when I go see a movie, it's at like 1 p.m. on a weekday because I'm trying to fit it into my life. And
yeah, or if we do our like day dates, and yeah, it's literally us and like one other person in the theater,
and we're the youngest by 30 years. It's usually somebody that's like a grandpa's age, and then like us. Yeah. You know,
but it's great though, because then when something like really fucked up happens. Like, we end up talking to this person.
We meet friends. We make friends because one of us yells and they yell, or we yell and then we become friends. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a bad way to watch a movie either, but it was really cool to watch with a big crowd. And yeah, so you were laughing. You gave it a 5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. On my Letterboxd, I rated it a 4. I got to go with a 4, 4.5. That's kind of where I'm at with it. It's, I think as of right now, it's like the 3rd or 4th favorite movie of the year for me to like Cocaine Bear.
Okay.
And actually, it might be my second. Actually, it might be right behind Cocaine Bear. I really loved Scream 6, and I really loved Evil Dead Rise. Which, as I said, I pretty much watch horror unless it's for a podcast, or even when it is for a podcast. Clearly. So, how about you, Murder?
I would say 5. It was really good. I really
this might go down as our favorite movie on the podcast.
I think
so,
and I just was. Really, the whole entire time, it was like nonstop. There was no lulls in the movie.
There really aren't lulls.
Like, there was
movie,
not a single part of the movie where I'm like, oh, they could have cut that out. Like, because I feel like with movies, I'm always like looking at parts where I'm just like, this was definitely to like extend the time a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But every single thing was either really funny or important to the plot. And it wasn't like dragging at any point. There was like no point where I'm just like, oh my God, this movie needs to end. It was so good.
Yeah.
If anything, I was bummed because I missed like the first 10 minutes because I was just like, man, I want more of that. Like I could totally watch that as a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it was,
I mean,
so good.
It reminds me of like, well, it's not nearly as dry because there's a lot of action in it. It does remind me humor wise, Vampire TV show in the What We Do in the Shadows TV show a little bit with some of the way they play off the vampire lore. And I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the What We Do in the Shadows film. I'd like to go back and rewatch it now that I
TV because yeah, the show is so good.
Well,
so
good. The show's got Matthew Berry and he's just so good.
So good.
You know, Jackie Daytona, human bartender.
Yeah. In Tucson, Arizona.
So yeah, well, as of right now, this and Con Air are our top movies that we've reviewed. Yeah. And Peggy Sue's kind of, actually as a 3, kind of still closer to the top than the bottom because we have a couple bad ones in this world we've covered. But so a pretty good month for a double feature, I think. We had 2 movies we really love. Well, one we love and one we will never forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forever be in our hearts.
And I really enjoyed both of them. So. I guess we're really kind of just wrapping it up. It's now May. Well,
almost May.
Secret. It's the end of
gonna
April
be
that we're
May.
Recording.
But
we're releasing this in May. When you're listening to this, it's in early May.
It will be May.
Planning a whole year ahead, next May, we'll be doing Wicker Man. I have to wait till May, though, because May Day is a big part of Wicker Man.
Can I come back for that one?
Yes. Well... And maybe we'll break format a little bit, and maybe we'll do a double feature of the old movie
and the new one,
and the Nick Cage movie to kind of because the old movie, as you know, I have a tattoo. I'm a big.
It's so good.
It's honestly one of my favorite.
I don't remember watching the Nicolas Cage one once.
There's a reason we've only watched it.
Well, I understand that, but I barely like I know like it's women, like it's an all women
Yes, the cult, Summer right? Isle is all women. Yeah. So, as opposed to, obviously, not when Christopher Lee's running it in the original. Right,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. The original's so good. I mean, it's, like, super creepy.
That's so good. We'll be watching that.
You've seen Midsommar, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That,
so that kind of folk horror definitely borrows a lot from it.
Yeah, I would say so, for sure.
If you're like me and you celebrate May Day by watching Wicker Man, enjoy that. The original. Next year, we'll be watching the original and the Nick Cage film.
The Bees.
But we will be back in June with another Nick Cage film of some sort. We haven't quite decided what yet, so you have to stay tuned to the socials to find out.
It's got
to
be a bad one.
Yeah, we might have to.
There's been too many good ones.
We might have to go with something. We'll go with something that has a really bad Rotten Tomato score that neither of us have seen, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. I'm going to probably regret saying that
aloud.
Surprise
ones. Yeah.
I do really want to get you, after watching Peggy Sue, to watch Army of One, because it's the most ridiculous accent I've ever heard him do.
Jesus Christ. His accents.
It's more ridiculous than Peggy Sue.
Oh, God.
And Russell Brand plays God.
How could it be more ridiculous than this?
Oh, trust me. It can be.
I cannot remember what it is, at all.
We'll watch it soon.
I remember that it's like...
Although there is, don't forget, there is also, one day we'll get to Color Out of Space where he talks like he's Trump.
Oh, God, that fucking movie. I hated Raven and Loki for tricking me into seeing that movie.
So the thing is...
damn it.
As I think 5 minutes ago I said we were ending, but I will
That's
say,
what we're going to do. We're doing that movie.
Color Out of Space is a movie that I actually liked a good bit when I first saw it, even though I thought Nick Cage was ridiculous in it. But the director was since outed as a dirtbag wife beater,
cool.
I am not interested in covering that movie. So we probably won't get to that movie because I don't really want to support that fucker.
Yeah. I mean, if we shit on it.
Yeah. Well.
I'll shit on it for you.
No, I honestly can shit on it quite a bit too. But with that in mind, we are going to leave and we are going to bid you adieu. And we thank you for sticking with us. And we very much would like to thank our special guest, my beautiful wife.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Club Baby. We really love to have you.
And an extra special thank you to, what did we decide to call Mrs. Ducky?
Mama Duck.
Thank you so much for listening.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And come watch Nick Cage movies with us anytime.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
translucent black capes back on the rack. Bela Lugosi is dead, the bats have left the bell tower, the victims have been bled, red velvet lines, the black box. Bela Lugosi is dead. Bela Lugosi is dead. Undead.
out of nowhere, because Brookie has a great laugh, right? Yeah, it's yeah. like, hee hee hee, like it's really cute. But she was like, it sounded like a car overturning.
I love it.
Loki was literally crying.
Loki started tears in her eyes. She was crying. It was so fucking funny.